Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. Okay, while we're waiting for some callers, let's let everyone listening know the phone number 914-338-0164 is the call number. And we would love it if you let us know you'd like to speak with us by pressing 1. Press 1 if you would like to speak with us. That puts you in the queue. Callers, you may follow us on Facebook and on Twitter. Those accounts are linked on our Blog Talk Radio profile, the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. So, Neil, I guess today we're talking about the third chakra. It's actually the third of February. So what better day to talk about the third chakra? Well, what about the third chakra? Third chakra is the top of the bottom three chakras, precedes the fourth chakra, the heart chakra, which is the median chakra. And it's an interesting chakra because I think it's a little bit more difficult to define than the other chakras. Would you agree or disagree?
Yeah, I think the third chakra is a difficult chakra to define, yeah, I do.
Why do you think that, Neil?
Well, where are you coming from? What's your opinion?
My opinion is because there's a mysterious element to the third chakra. It's really where we get our first experience with the outside world, because the umbilical cord is connected to the mother, and that's where the child, the fetus, gets nutrients. So it's also our intuitive center. So it's our first area where psychic energy comes in, our gut. But not only that, it's our will center. So it controls our self-esteem, our drive to create, and also it's connected to psychic intuition. And it's a fire center. It's the stomach. So it breaks down food. It controls the metabolism of the body. So there's a lot of different...
there's two... It's where we receive our oxygen on that level.
Right, exactly.
From the umbilical cord supplies us with the oxygen, so we're not really breathing with the lungs. We're not taking that outward breath that occurs after birth, where we suck in air through the lungs. We're getting our oxygen through the umbilical cord, so it's sort of like a deep sea diver, you know, the old fashioned deep sea divers that had to have the line going up to the ship to receive the oxygen. And in addition to that, it's sort of like you said, it's like a bonfire. It's like the base of a fire pit where the food or the energy is thereby cooked or whatever it may be that the fire is supporting. So in that regard, yes, but how do you relate that to life in terms of getting out of the attitude of that chakra that we carry that becomes more instinctual and pre-birth wise energies. That does.
Right. It has to be brought to a higher level than that pre-birth level as far as raising the energy of that chakra. I mean, every chakra has its primitive form.
Well,
the lower three, especially.
The third chakra establishes the basis of environment. So if the mother is unstable, having a horrible life or on drugs or whatever, emotional turmoil, that becomes the basis of the first energy field that the fetus and thereby
fetus
the infant
receives.
Is going to be establishing. So it forms a basis of instinctual stability or instability. That third chakra holds that energy.
And there are subtleties. So if the mother is, I mean, used an example, if the mother is on drugs, but there are much more subtle examples where a mother can be unstable emotionally and not really to the point of mental breakdown, but there can be the mother's thought patterns are going to enter that third chakra and translate to the child. So even if there's subtle issues with the mother, that fetus or infant will be imprinted with those energies.
As stated. But the
extreme example was drug addiction.
No,
I'm just saying, subtle.
I said even emotional stability or instability. I mentioned emotions. So, and that's okay. The mother is not in the good, is instable or unstable.
Instable or unstable.
She might own a ranch. And the horses may be neurotic, colic. The idea that becomes a basis of energy that the third chakra will hold during its interaction with the mother while it was a fetus. So that becomes a basis. So sometimes when people have unorganized or ill-defined anxiety, it can stem back from the original state of their third chakra that carries it with it. It's adaptable because what happens is that there's a transformation, there's a graduation from the third chakra to what? The fifth and sixth chakra.
Well, you're skipping over
the
fourth.
The fifth and sixth because you've got your lungs. The third chakra
about oxygen.
Is transformed out of the womb to the fourth, fifth lungs, nostrils, mouth, brain. Chakras, so they take predominance. It's almost, in metaphor, it would be like college grade takes predominance over high school and grammar school. And then you get to your highest forms of education, which means that then the attitude of stability reaches far into life and you advance further and further in education and knowledge and thought and all that. So, but it's all carried by the support of the third chakra. Luckily, we can transcend our third chakra and reduce the anxiety levels into something higher in form because we do make that leap. So there are a lot of people who did horrible in grammar school, junior high school. They get into a junior college. They start to do better. They get into college. They start to apply themselves. Some people drop out of school, enter it. Same thing. The higher chakras can reduce the state of the lower chakra if it is unstable.
Well, the instability of the third chakra, though, can express itself in other ways besides just anxiety. So someone with maybe too much yang energy in the third chakra might be overly concerned with power out of their ego rather than power from a higher source. Or there may be a diminished yang energy, more yin, because the person is insecure or anxious, like we were talking about earlier. But you know, it's interesting when it appears in a birth date too. So how does it, why does it appear in a person's birth date? You have to analyze very carefully why that three shows up, especially if it's on the, in the month or day,
yeah,
or in the karmic number or the master number, why that person is, has that three, and what in the past life caused that three to come
exactly
up.
Yeah.
Because it's varied.
Yeah. That third chakra can become a predominant, so all the chakras are themes, but they can become a predominant theme if the energy in that third chakra state, the homeostasis energy, the balance of the energy is not, is actually in an imbalanced state. And the other interesting notion is that we're leaving out the father. The energy that the mother receives from the seed of the father will also be attributable to the state of the third chakra. So if you have a strong father energy, that's in the third chakra, pre-birth, or the seed is good. You know, there's different, the seed, and the seed carries past life energy. It's filled with past life energy. It's filled with current energy. It's filled with the lineage of that lifetime, as well as the extended lineages of other lifetimes.
Right. Well, as does the egg.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
But when we're talking,
there's a mixture.
But when we put some emphasis on the father figure, and then the emotional state of the father figure becomes a predominant theme as well, what the father is doing with the mother during birth, during pre-birth.
Well, it would be interesting to study how, I mean, case studies of individuals without the influence of their father, a father that wasn't involved, that maybe left the mother during the pregnancy because you couldn't handle the burden or responsibility of a child, and how that energy would translate to the child. Obviously, the absence of the father is going to affect the child on a structural level in life, but how, what in his genetic makeup or past life makeup, how does that affect the child?
You know, yes, that's a good point. When you get into the idea of the word procreation and you take that apart, you have pro, we have like pro. When we think of the word pro, professional, pro means the opposite of con. So the idea of procreation means that creation is supposed to be established on a professional, positive, high attitude level. We're procreating. So in the process of procreation, we think of that word as just the function of sexual intercourse. When you really look at it, procreation is not sexual intercourse. It's how we establish the basis of what we are going to be creating. And that includes home, security, nutrients that are good.
Nutrients.
The emotional state. You're supposed to be pro, not, it's not con-creation, it's procreation. It's not confessional. I mean, there are cons who are professionals, but it's not con, it's pro-creation. And the root word of pro, when the actual root word of pro, it means positive. It means before the fact, it has a root word. Is before the fact, but it's usually its extension can be cut off as one word, pro or con, yes or no, positive. The attitude of that is rooted in the idea that it establishes a sense of security. Is there a root word that says pro?
I'm sure there is.
Because
you mean a human etymology of,
yeah,
pro?
Yeah, etymology. Word origin of the etymology of pro, but it's very essence. See, you got 796. 22-4 balance. So the numerical value of it is established into balance. It's a balance of energy as well. So it takes it.
Well, it's interesting though, because prohibit uses that word, which is a, you know.
Right. Well, there's going to be corruption.
Right. That's a corruption.
It's going to use corruption.
It's according to the online etymology dictionary, which is a nice little tool to have. It means toward the front or beforehand in advance, prohibit. So that would be obviously not exactly, I mean, that's not pro, that's against.
Yeah, but
it's using,
prohibit is a corruption of prohabitant. So
procure, pronoun, proconsul.
Procure is to secure.
In place of, I know those all fit in, but I'm just.
The word bounces around, but it's an initial intention is to provide. It's to establish.
Right.
Set a forefront.
Also, in some cases, from cognate pro before in front of sooner, which also was used in Greek as a prefix as in problem. So it's another interesting. I mean, you don't think of problem.
Yeah.
You know, splitting that apart in that manner, but really pro is a part of problem.
Yeah. It's an interesting word because in its misplacement in terms of word combination, it essentially always establishes a sense that anything can be worked out with. You have a problem, the word pro suggests there's a solution.
Yeah.
So pro stands in as it's a synonym for hope. It's a synonym for faith.
Yeah, it's not a conlim.
No.
It's a problem.
Yeah.
Conblem.
Conundrum.
Conundrum. Conundrum, you mean?
Contagion, which is what we've been dealing with in this pandemic. But the idea that when we look at that word, what we're getting back to in the basics of our conversation is that the chakra system starts rebirth. It's already starting. It's already establishing itself. And that's why the third chakra takes such predominance over the other chakras pre-birth, because it's getting most of the energy, 90% of the energy probably, if not more, than what other chakras would be getting. I mean, we're forming the other chakras and stuff like that. But the third chakra is originally the king, the queen. It's the ruling chakra. It's misplaced later as soon as we take that first gulp of air. It establishes, it gives its way to the next president, the next queen, the next king, the mind, the lungs, the voice, the spirit, the soul. All of that comes in afterward. But we have to understand how the importance of that third chakra, because so much relies on it before we're even out into the atmosphere. And then what's the word? It's codependent. It's codependent on the state of the mother and on the state of the father, specifically the mother. But again, a mother can only do so much. If the seed of the father is rotten, or if the performance of the father during the process of birth is destructive, it can destroy anything that a mother has to offer. So it becomes a unit. Now what do we have? Now what do we have to put emphasis on that three? We have mother, father, embryo, mother, father, fetus. So that three now becomes, the impact of that three means that two make three, not one, two makes three. I mean, there are some species of animals that don't need to have, they're asexual, or they're bisexual. They're
trisexual.
They're male and female.
They're prosexual.
They convert themselves. They have a nice time masturbating and getting it going.
Please.
But the idea that, basically speaking, in the animal and human kingdom, two makes three. So three becomes the symbol of woman, man, child. Then we get into Father, Son, Holy Ghost. The Trinity, the triangular energy.
So that's why there's the sacred, that's why the third chakra, the lower chakra, has a sacred energy, because it connects with the Trinity.
Yeah. So not so mysterious. Its origins are less mysterious than the other chakras. Because if you look at the origin of the third chakra, that's a little bit harder to academically define than the origins of the brain, than the origins of speech. I mean, we develop speech as basically the articulation of symbol. I mean, you know, man invented the wheel. Well, what, you know, when man or woman invented the wheel, they didn't look at it and go, oh, that looks like a wheel. There was nothing to reference. Our language was guttural. It was grunts and groans, sounds, laughter maybe, tears. But our language, the origins of our language was the articulation and definition of emotion. So language is a sound that over time took on specific meaning that soon attached itself to a symbol. And we can't presume that the English language is the only symbol. My God, look at Chinese. Look at Arabic writing. Oh, you know, I look at Chinese writing. It's like constructing a house, a blueprint.
You know.
This, dot, 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 line, 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 square, square. I mean,
I know, and the artistic elements of it too. I mean, it's beautiful. Chinese and Japanese
it
symbols.
It is beautiful. But you see, the thing about the Chinese language, it doesn't flow.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't flow. The English longhand flows. It's just a line that
right.
keeps flowing like a wave.
Yeah.
Not Chinese, not Arabic. It doesn't flow. Not Japanese. Doesn't flow. You got to take your hand off
the page.
And down. Up and down. Up and down. And continuing.
I can't imagine having to learn that in school. I mean, writing, being a child and having to learn all those symbols.
Look, it took me 20 years to learn how to do chopsticks. more or less the language. And again, chopsticks, two things. You know, the orient energy.
Well,
you can't have one. You got to make it complicated.
Yeah, you have two. But of course, with the plate of food, there's three.
Well, there's three.
Yeah.
But basically,
instead of chopsticks?
They might have a harder time with a fork and spoon than they would with a chopstick. But again, it's the articulation. And I once took my car in way back in the day to have a Honda. And I said, why do the Japanese? Well, the Japanese are so intelligent. And the Honda was the highest selling car. And it was the most efficient car. And the mechanic that I had, maybe he was bigoted, I don't know, but he said, well, you know, the Japanese, they have such tiny hands and they're so articulate. They know how to
do this.
That's
not bigoted. I don't think that's a bigoted statement.
No,
I know it's so PC now that you can't say anything about anything specific about a certain ethnic group without being called racist
right.
or prejudiced. I mean, it's ridiculous.
But even in their mechanics, I mean, we had Henry Ford, another and semi, but we had Henry Ford, and we had Chrysler, and we had all these different people, Buick, Cadillac, Lexus, Japanese, actually.
Yeah, but, the Toyota is the Lexus.
Yeah. But what? Where are we going? Okay. my God, we start off in the car, and now we're in a, who knows what we're flying on. But
I think chopsticks got us to
the idea
of cars.
It is interesting because when you think of the flow, You know, the English, the people say it's hard to learn English. But when you think about it, it's not really that hard. I mean, it is hard because we have such conjunctions and double meanings in the language, and we have slang and all that. But I'm always impressed with somebody who has their native tongue is other than English.
And then they speak perfect English.
And they get all the innuendos in. You can speak. I mean, it's amazing. I think it's absolutely fabulous. But when we get into this idea of sound developing into an articulate language based on symbol and the construction of language, which is a fascinating study in itself, linguistics. But then we get into the idea of how the chakras develop over time. They're never stable. Your third chakra 10 years ago is not your third chakra today. And in relation to the other chakras, the same thing. So when you mention the third chakra, yes, there is a certain foundation. There's a certain foundation to our planet. But my God, look at the climate. Look how the landscape has changed. We still are Mother Earth. We still are a rock. We still have molten lava and layers of sediment and rock. But the world has changed. And it's forever changing. The polar regions are forever changing. Chakras change. And not only do they change in formation, but they have weather conditions. A third chakra can be in a great area, and it can be very distressed. So the idea that when you bring up the third chakra, we also have to consider not only what we've discussed in terms of its origins and what it means, but how it's maintained.
Well, and then there's the relationship between the third chakra and the fifth chakra, because we what we put in our mouths is ultimately digested by the third chakra.
Right.
So,
You know, you get into sayings, food for thought.
Food for thought.
You know.
Well, that would be.
Our intake of food can affect our stomach. Our intake of anything can affect our mental condition.
And right, it affects the brain.
So, in the stomach, of course, it's more or less gravity. It's a downward motion. But then how do you define reflex, you know, acid reflex?
Because it goes, right, the acid
goes up. When you sit up in the sun, it feels like you have that fruit cocktail.
Oh, God, will you please? God.
I always wonder what that is. Next time I spit up one of those fruit cocktail things, I want to see what it's all about. They're like little dice. But, you know, what is that stuff?
What are you talking about?
When you have stomach reflex, and you have acid reflex and you spit up and you feel these things like little dice in your throat, and then they go back down. Where do they stay? You know those little things, the chunky little things that come up?
Oh my God, too much information. Acid reflux is usually food and bile, so I mean you're talking God, you're talking about food that you chewed probably is what you're feeling in your throat coming up with bile.
You know,
bile.
It's interesting when you talk about
God.
Because we get back to the third chakra. Let's get back to the third chakra.
Oh, okay.
Bible.
Bible? I didn't say Bible, I said bile.
I know, but I'm
just corrupting the word. Okay.
Jonah swallowed by the whale was an impossibility. Because if Jonah being swallowed by, if he could get through the teeth, there's a certain word for it, I think it starts with a B. If he doesn't get chewed up, he goes into a place where the teeth of the
buckle,
whale.
Buckle is another, I mean, it's a word that's associated with teeth, related, well, it's the cheek, the buckle cavity.
Right.
That would be
but
the jaw of the whale.
What happens is
I don't
that
know.
The if he, you know, he's going to get into an area where there's going to be lack of oxygen. Then he's going to get into an area where there's all these fluorescent fish and squid and things flying around, amoebas and stuff, spleen, whatever. And then he, what happens is, over a period of time, not a long period of time, his skin starts dissolving, and the bones start, the acid in of the stomach starts to get to the bones, and actually, he extends out the whale's back end, just poof, a couple of stuff. But you cannot live in the belly of a whale.
Or a belly of anything, for
look
that
matter.
Look
it up on the internet. You'll see what happens to a human being, theoretically or scientifically, what would happen to a human being swallowed into the belly of a whale. You can't live. And you're not going to be able to live for 3 days. There's a brief period of time when you can experience some relief. And I think that's when you can see the squid and the oxygen level you get to.
Yeah, you know.
You're kind of swimming around in a psychedelic part of the stomach.
It's so common to get small, to be swallowed by a whale that,
yeah.
You know, there's many, many eyewitness accounts.
You dissolve. The whale doesn't spit you up. You dissolve and while you're alive.
Oh, God.
You're burning to death through the acids, and you're suffocating. So, you know, when we get into the idea of in the belly.
Well, it's interesting that he spent 3 days in the belly of the whale.
He wouldn't have made it.
I know, but I mean, just the fact that three analogous to the third chakra where he stayed and survived.
It's a metaphor. I mean, there are, you go on the internet and say, oh, the guy was swallowed by a crocodile and they cut him open and came out. And they get, oh, here's the footage. And then you find out it was what's that guy? The Crocodile Rock.
Elton John?
Elton John was swallowed by a crocodile. That's why he made that song. Nobody knows.
I don't think Elton John would fit inside a crocodile's body. No insult to Elton John, but he's not exactly compact.
Well,
especially these days.
But, okay. So, the only way we can really fit into an alligator is if we get into a suitcase, a big one. But the idea that the third chakra, let's get back to
the third chakra. We're
how
getting
many
back
of
to
you
it.
Think you have a secure third chakra? We're defining this physically, big pot belly people, overweight,
right.
As well as a mental attitude of stability. And you know, when those of you listening, by the millions, as we see, those of you listening, when you get into the idea that the third chakra is the basis of a union. So those who have strong third chakras, we could theorize that they had a strong mother-father connection.
But it's how you define strong, because you can have a strong third chakra. I mean, you can have a strong third chakra, but it can be out of balance, even if it's strong.
Yeah.
So
right.
I think a better term is a healthy third chakra. If we're talking about the influence of parents and positive, not a strong third chakra, because a strong third chakra can, I mean, drive someone to drugs and drinking or having overinflated ego.
Could be. But Orson Welles could have said he had a strong, healthy third chakra. Well, he sips cognac and made puff bakery, which, you know, Orson Welles did well.
Huh?
Orson Welles.
What about, why?
He was like 200 pounds.
Well, then he would have had,
you know,
actually, what's Orson Welles' birthday?
Some,
so that's not a healthy third chakra, though. I mean,
well,
he was overweight. He might, but I mean,
subjective.
That's relative, it's subjective, but obviously we're talking on a higher level of energy, what a healthy third chakra
healthy
is,
third
and
third
that's
chakra.
Not going to be
it's stable,
right?
Healthy,
and
stable, yeah.
Right. So, I mean, if you're talking about fire, I mean, fire transforms; it's a transformational element. the first two chakras are, I mean, their elements are earth and water, right? First chakra, earth, second water, third is fire. So it's the first, I mean, in the second chakra, obviously, if you're pregnant, there's a transformation of the fetus. So, I mean,
well,
that's...
Well, you forgot your first chakra because you forgot
just
earth,
anyway,
earth, wind, and fire.
Okay, so...
Another group that didn't want to bring, he wanted to bring the first chakra in.
Oh, God, I feel like I'm doing more with a 7-year-old child. Okay.
No. No.
You're getting me off topic here.
I like to telegraph remarks if I can. But
the fire is the element of alchemy. You can change matter with fire.
Yeah.
And transform. So with a stable third chakra, a person who has a stable third chakra can be very powerful in that third chakra. What's Orson Welles? Well, he had an 11. No 3. 21, 22, 27, 9.
No 3. Yeah, very powerful. What was his full birthday?
May 6, 1915. So, to 5 and 6 element, but
May
he was a 9.
5th. See, that 5 communication, brilliant communicator, orator.
Orator is fine.
Writer, director. I mean, they said that he could.
I thought his mother was a pianist.
He could recite the telephone book and make it sound like Shakespeare. You know, he did do Shakespeare, King Lear, and things like this. Brilliant, Macbeth. But
And his 5. I mean, he has 2 5s.
He has 5.
2 5s
going on.
And the 6.
Yeah, and then 9. I mean, his Citizen Kane was considered in many circles as being the greatest film ever made. I don't think so, but it was outstandingly original and brilliant. A movie called Mank. That there's a controversy about who really wrote Mankiewicz, who really wrote Citizen Kane, who could take credit for it. But I do believe a lot of it is David Orson Welles. He got screwed over a lot in terms of movies. He did the Magnificent Ambersons that got chopped up by the studio, too. It's still considered a brilliant movie.
So I wonder what, I mean, God, he got big.
Oh, he became a planet. The rocket ships would find a place to land on him from outer space. But he was. A very powerful.
He had 3 actor. Marriages. 3 marriages. Yeah. There's a 3. But, I mean, considering, I who knows what's going to happen to his soul or what his soul's journey is.
Orson Welles, yeah.
But, he could have a 3 in his birth date.
Well,
he did manage
to rise because he met Orson Bean up there.
What?
Orson Bean, talking about that. And there was a lightning strike.
God, but the idea that... How many did this guy have? Talk about an appetite. My God.
Well, what put him on the map first was his radio broadcast of War of the Worlds.
He
professed to have no idea because it caused riots and people were thinking that the world was coming to an end. But his original radio show of H.G. Wells' novella of War of the Worlds became a radio show about 1929 or something. And people actually thought we were being invaded by Mars because it was so authentic and the way he conducted it. He later said, I had no idea, I didn't mean it to cause it. I just thought I was doing a creative radio show. But he made it so authentic, and he started off from radio. He made it so authentic that it was quite compelling and frightening. And a lot of younger people aren't going to know about that War of the Worlds radio show, but that's what he did first. So, and his communication was outstanding in terms of the vibrancy and urgency of his tongue. And the role of his tongue in folk music.
Well, he was doing theater at the same time, actually, as the radio show.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they were...
But, correct.
Anyway, but...
The radio show was the first media that became that metallic conveyance of the voice that transformed later into images. But what you see,
God.
That the basis of that third chakra becomes, we're dealing that because of the belly, the stomach, and the idea that there is an intellectual content. But you were talking about...
Well, what?
What you were going to say?
No, I was just going to say that he died, he died alone.
Yeah.
And
he was 79 or 80 or something like that. 81.
He had no money when he died.
He had money.
No, it says he died alone and broke.
No, he had it. He lived in a camp. He lived in
and a cottage in the Hollywood Hills on October 10th, 1985.
Yeah,
a cottage.
Got screwed over.
At which point his affairs in the state passed into chaos that he'd known and engineered for most of his life. It's very sad.
Yeah, and there were movies that Man of La Mancha, there are movies that he had tried to finish that he never could finish. And he was undermined by the studios. Very interesting, intricate energy of the guy. What was his month again?
Five.
The five and then 15, what was it?
5/16.
5/16?
I'm sorry, 5/6/1915.
See, there's an 11 in there.
Yeah, I know. And an 11 and then, there's his, no. Yeah, he does have a three. I mean, subtly, in his crossover.
Yeah.
21. He always collects the 21.
Yeah. Yeah.
There it is. Well, we've got 10 minutes left, Neil. And I don't think we're going to continue to talk about Orson Welles.
Let's go to the Ten Commandments one more time. What is 10? 10 is the first. 10 is actually Asian. Because you have to take your hand off the page to create that zero. And when you think about it, what is the energy of zero? Because it is.
Are we talking
energy.
About zero now?
Yeah, we're talking about zero now because you said 10, so it brought in numerologists. So we bring the idea of the concept of zero, the value of zero, because it is a value. Put it before a number and it obliterates the number. So the value is power. Put it after a number and it goes into tens, hundreds, thousands. But when you think of zero, all by its own self, it's like that movie, The Perfect Storm. At the very end is that guy just floating in the vast ocean, and the movie closes on him, one little person in the ocean, all by himself. Doomed. When you get into the idea of the zero, that song, one is a lonely number. Well, zero is not a lonely number. It's an obsolete number, but not really, because it transforms and the placement, it starts to have value and power. So there's something about the essence of nothingness, getting such. Something about the essence of nothingness that you can't have as an oxymoron. His famous book, Being and Nothingness. How can you put it together? How can you have a being of nothingness? And yet the idea of emptiness, has to have some sort of conscious content to it. Silence is only silence if we hear it. Otherwise, what is silence without a consciousness? So what is the value of zero? Is there a zero in the chakra system? Or is there a zero in the astral energy of the body? Does it exist within the body? Or does it exist outside of the body? It's sort of like saying we have a tailbone. Where's the tail? Well, let's equate tailbone with zero. Where's the value? Why say you have a tailbone
when there's no
you
tail.
Don't have a tail? You have to create a tail to create a tailbone. We came from monkeys, primates. Not primates, but monkeys. Primates don't have tails. prehensible tail.
Prehensile tails.
Prehensible, sensible. So what is the value of a zero? This is not original thinking. Because the concept of a zero equates to infinity.
Yeah, so it's interesting. If it equates to infinity, then as a symbol in numerology, if you're using that thought as applying it to numerology, you would think that a zero would be positive. But zero in numerology is not birthday code.
Because it takes on an emotional, historical context. But we can get into literature and say my life amounted to nothing.
Nothing.
Or I failed. There's no content.
Or there's a zero. You get a zero grade, not a good thing.
You get a zero grade. But, you know, it's like David and Goliath. If 999 figures was multiplied by zero, what do you get?
Zero.
Zero. 999 multiplied by one adds nothing. But by zero, why is that? That when you multiply an obsolete number to any given strong number, the number vanishes. So it's the black hole of existence. And in that black hole of existence, we seem to define it as a portal through which we can travel through time, bend time. So does zero really stand as a portal to another dimension that obliterates the physicality of thought and content and substance? But it becomes the substance in itself. So when I look into the stars, I don't see enough. I see the stars. I can count the stars. But when I look into the stars, I see zero. When I look into the sky, I see zero. Because I see nothing but a black canvas. And yet in that black canvas that obliterates what we would know as Earth, it becomes a substance all unto itself. So to me, I mean, you know, in numerology, we could talk about zero being a content of emotional or intellectual history that is filled with some sort of chapter of activity or non-activity. But when you look at zero, to me, it's the most powerful number we have to deal with. And there's something mysteriously sublime about it. Supreme, superb, perfect. It eliminates anything that's really negative onto itself.
Except when it's in a birthday.
Yeah, except when it's in a birthday and you're finding it, then
right.
You've got problems.
So, yeah.
But it all
duality.
Depends, you know. But we don't, we often say, when were you born? Oh, I was born 01.
Don't say zero.
Yeah.
Right. But
because you obliterate the one.
Right.
You don't have to put it before a number.
So
in that regard, yes, it becomes something that.
Right, or if it's in the birth date as a 10, or, I mean, if we're talking about 3, which, 30 as a karmic number has zero in it.
Right. But aesthetically, in a very obscure way, zero is the essence of all existence. It is what happened before there was a happening. So in the beginning wasn't the word, and that wasn't the way the Old Testament
right,
starts
but
off.
If you're,
that's in the New Testament.
But if we're applying it to a birth date code, it's not regarded in that way. I mean,
no. But it's really characteristically, it's not a void. The world was void and without form or shape. But that is a shape.
Zero is a shape. It's,
it is a shape.
It's noble.
A void, formless, without shape, is still a content of energy. Einstein will say we bend time and become circular and relative. but in the attitude of zero becomes endless, because zero is the only number that continuously reinvents itself in formation. It's complete. So we don't want to underestimate the value of zero, and we don't want to underestimate the value of knowledge, even though it does come with a certain sense of consequence. As it states in the Bible,
don't
eat the tree of knowledge, you're going to die, because you become aware of zero. You become aware of death. You become aware of mortality. But in that aspect, we have two thoughts. We have the totality of a life and the totality of the soul. And then the ultimate totality of the spirit.
So eternal life isn't in the body, obviously.
Yeah, it's segmented. You have life and you have eternal life. Short life, long life, wasted life, productive life. And life serial.
Which is, again, a trinity.
A trinity based on a Quaker thought.
Okay. We are out of time for today, but we're back on the air at our regular time next week. Not this week, not next week. Which is Friday. Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. We hope you enjoyed the show in the archives, and we will speak with you on the fifth. Maybe we'll talk about the fifth chakra.
Yeah.
We can design our shows according to what date our show falls on.
Yeah, maybe it'll be on the 10th.
It's not going to be on the 10th. It's going to be the 7th.
That'd be a 60.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
All right. They don't hear that. They're listeners.
Oh, a lady just came on and said 60 seconds. She has to always.
She says 90 seconds, 60 seconds. They don't hear that. No, it's only us. Okay. Have a nice couple days, everyone. Bye-bye.